Well, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're busy working through the book of Judges and under the title of When a Nation Turns Their Back on God. And last time we looked at Judges chapter 10, verses 6 through to Judges chapter 12 and verse 7, as we looked at the life of Jephthah. And I called my sermon Words Matter. As we looked at the life of Jephthah, we saw that God is tired of our insincere words. We make promises to God, but we don't keep them. God's mercy extends beyond our insincere words, fortunately, and we are reminded that every word we utter has consequences. People will believe a lie if it's repeated often enough, and God takes our promises very, very seriously, friends, and ultimately we're reminded that Jesus is the Word, and we are a representative of that Word, and we better make sure that if we're going to be a representative of that Word, that we're doing it in a way that is honoring and pleasing to Him. But today we're going to look at Judges chapter 13, at the story of the birth of Samson, at the parents of Samson. And before we do that, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that You can speak into our lives in so many ways. Even as You spoke into the life of Samson's parents, Lord, we continue to pray that You would just challenge us and speak into our lives, Lord, so that we may respond and follow You in the way that they did as well. We commit this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a lovely story. Most of us know it as I'm sure you were taught the story in Sunday school, and let me read it for us. Judges chapter 13, the whole chapter. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you don't drink any wine or any fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. Because you will conceive and give birth to a son, no razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart from God, for God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the land of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name, but he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man you sent to us come again and teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the one who was talking to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, 'When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, or drink any wine, or any fermented drink, or eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel, 'We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we might honor you and your name and your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding,' or it could be translated, 'It is wonderful.' Then Manoah took the young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on the rock to the Lord. The Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. 'We are doomed,' he said, 'to die.' He said, 'We have seen God.' But the wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted an offering burnt, a grain offering from our hands, nor shown us these things or told us." The woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manab Dan between Zorah and Eshtahol. Well, folk, during this last week, we had a situation at the church which was rather interesting. A man, all dressed in white, walked off the streets of the town and somehow found his way into the church building, where he confronted a missionary we have in our church called Faye in the foyer of our church. He refused to leave the church when he was asked by the school staff until I arrived at the church, and we literally had to carry him off the property. Well, once off the property, he tried to jump over the palisade fencing to enter again. Well, I thought, let me just engage this man in a conversation before I got too angry with him. Only after I told him that we had a school on the property and that we could not allow him on the property to ensure the safety of the children did he accept that he could just not enter. When I asked him as to why he believed he had the right to trespass on the property, he said the Spirit, on inverted commas, had told him to go onto the property to pray. And so when I told him, no, friend, the Holy Spirit wouldn't tell you to do something that was illegal and that was against the Word of God, he insisted that the Spirit had told him. Eventually he left, but as I've been preparing this message, I've been wondering about encounters with God in our day. What if it was the Spirit who had told him, and we had just robbed ourselves of a blessing? I don't think it was the case. He came across not with all his ducks in a row, a little bit, not altogether there. But imagine if one day your wife came and told you, "Well, you know, an angel appeared to me, and that angel told me I'm going to have a baby." Well, I know what I'd do. I think I'll go and buy a shotgun and see if the shotgun went through that angel. If that angel was full of blood and organs like the rest of us, or whether he was truly an angel. You see, even though Israel had abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for 40 years, verse 1 tells us this, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years, friends. The wonderful thing is God had not forgotten about them. What a great encouragement. God chooses two of the most unlikely people to begin the redemption of Israel. I've called my sermon, "God Gives Faith to the Sick, the Lazy, and the Nameless." Couldn't call it the lame, but you'll see why. God gives faith to the sick, the lazy, and the nameless. Well, let's think about faith. As we consider the nature of faith in this, I want you to notice, first of all, friends, that faith starts in the heart of God. Verse 1 through to the first beginning of verse 3 says this, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered him into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of Dan had a wife who was sterile and remained childless, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said. See, folk, Israel had been captured for 40 years and had done nothing about it. Friend, faith starts in the heart of God. God is the prime mover when it comes to matters of faith. Let me give you two verses. the verse we all know, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Friend, salvation starts in the heart of God. Faith starts in the heart of God. And Romans cements that in chapter 5 and verse 8 when it says, But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All we can say, friends, is the same as the hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Friend, you can do nothing to save yourself. Even the faith you have comes from God himself. Secondly, as we consider the nature of faith, friends, I want you to notice faith does not consider human status. Verse 1 tells us about the people who the God appeared to. It says, a man from Zora named Manoah from the tribe of Dan had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. Notice the kind of people God chooses, friends. He chooses this man called Manoah. You know what the word Manoah means? Well, in a positive way, it means rest. But you know who rests a lot? People who are lazy. They're always resting. Friends, Manoah was resting. He was lazy. He didn't go to God. God went to him. Friends, God is the one who takes the initiative. It doesn't matter who you are, friends. Even if you're lazy, God will speak to you. Notice, secondly, the wife. The wife is spoken of 14 times in this passage, but she's never even mentioned, friends. We don't even know what her name is. She's that, well, you know, from a historical perspective, that insignificant, that we don't even know her name. God knew who she was. God knew her name. God spoke to her. We don't know her name. She wasn't important enough for a name to make it into the scriptures, friends. Yet God chose her to be the bearer of a child who would save Israel. And thirdly, where are they from? Well, they're from a town called Zora. The word Zora means a scab. And more than likely, it means this particular place, a place where people with leprosy stayed. It's probably the reason why the wife was sterile and had no children. Because, friends, she probably was a leper in a leper colony. And so, friends, that's why I said, faith does not consider human standards, friends. God chooses the sick, the lame, and the lazy when he wants to do some work. You don't have to be important, friend, for God to use you. When God wants to move, he will move through whom he chooses. Let's never lose sight of that reality. Thirdly, as we consider the nature of faith, I want you to notice, first of all, that if he doesn't consider human status, he doesn't even consider spiritual capacity. Manoah and his wife were not from the priestly tribe. She didn't even realize that it was an angel talking to her. Listen to verse 6. When the woman went to her husband, she told him, a man of God came to talk to me. He looked like an angel. He's awesome. I didn't ask where he's from, and he didn't tell me his name. it kind of makes you wonder about this lady. You know, when somebody tells you something important, like you're going to have a baby when you've never had one before, surely you want to know who the person is. She didn't even know it was an angel. But you know, the strange thing is he didn't know either. He didn't even realize that an angel was talking to him. Listen to what verse 17 says. Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What's your name, so that we may honor you when the word comes true?" The angel answers him in verse 18. He says, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." You see, friends, if Manoah was a priest, he would have known that phrase, "It is beyond understanding," or "It is wonderful." He would have known that this angel was God himself. Friends, you don't need to be greatly spiritually kind of important. You don't need to have great knowledge about God, friends. If God wants to use you, he will. He chose a simple village girl, a little girl called Mary, in which to allow the Son of God to be born through. Friends, God doesn't choose us just because of our spiritual capacity. God chooses our simplicity. He doesn't consider how spiritually knowledgeable you are. He can use anybody and everybody. And if you look at the Bible, friends, you'll discover that principle over and over and over and over again. God chooses the foolish things to shame the wise. Fourthly, as we consider the nature of faith, I want you to notice that faith does flow into a willing heart. That's what you need, friends. You don't need to be important. You don't need to be spiritually mature or spiritually kind of knowledgeable. You just need a willing heart. Look at verse 8. Manoah prayed to the Lord. "Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent us come teach us how to bring up the boy who has been born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. Manoah reminds me so much of Joseph the carpenter. They both faced partners who experienced the visitation from an angel. Both Manoah and Joseph, friends, must have thought, "Oh, these women we've chosen to get into a relationship, I wonder just who they're like." But friends, both of them were open to the work of the Lord. When the Lord spoke to Joseph, he did the right thing. Friends, both were sensitive also to their partner's leading. Friends, I want you to understand how important that was. In the day of the revelation of the angel to Manoah's wife, and in the day of the revelation to Mary, friends, women were just not considered important. They just had no standing in life. Yet, both these men are sensitive to their partner's leading. And both of them, friends, get a message about Jesus. Joseph has an encounter about the potential or the coming birth of Jesus. But Manoah's encounter was with Jesus himself. Friend, have you got a willing heart? A heart that's ready to say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm ready for you to use me and to speak into my heart and direct me." Friend, that's faith. Faith is looking for a willing heart. Will you be a willing heart today? that God can use in a mighty way. I want you to notice, fifthly, when we talk about faith, it can't be transferred. I can't give my faith to you. Manoah asks the angel how they should raise the child in verse 12. He says, Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? The angel of the life answered, your wife must do all that I've told her. She must not eat anything from the grapevine or drink any wine or fermented drink or anything unclean. She must do everything I've commanded you. When they raise Samson, they do it in the way they were told. In verse 22 we read, we are doomed to die, said the wife. We have seen God. But the wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering offered from our hands, nor shown us the way, the things we were told to do. The woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. Friends, they raised Samson up in the way that he was, but it wasn't until verse 25 that Samson himself encountered the Spirit. Samson needed to encounter the Spirit personally, friends, before God could use him. Verse 25 says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Friend, God deals with us individually. Manoah and his wife could input into the life of Samson. They could protect him. They could do the things that God had asked them to do, but they could not give their faith to Samson. Samson himself needed to experience the Spirit of God before God could use him. Friend, I've said it before, God doesn't have spiritual grandchildren. He only has spiritual children. You're not a Christian because your parents are Christian, friends. You're a Christian because you've made a faith commitment to Jesus Christ personally and individually. Don't think you're protected because your parents are Christians. Unless you personally are living a life of faith, friends, you're in rebellion to God if you're not. And finally, as we consider the nature of this faith, friends, this faith always points us to Jesus. Manoah and his wife, friends, were pointed to Jesus. Let's read verse 15 through to 19 again, or verse 20, a little further on. It says, Manoah said to the angel, we'd like you to stay and prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord replied, even though you have detained me, I will not eat any of the food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not realize that it was the Lord. Manoah inquired of the angel, Lord, what's your name? So that we honor you when the word comes true. He replied, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding, or it's wonderful. Then Manoah took the goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it in the rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife washed. For the angel flame blazed up from the altar towards the heaven, and the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did not show himself to again Manoah and his wife. Manoah realized it was the angel of the Lord. How do we know this is Jesus? Well, there are three pointers, friends. One of them is, his name is wonderful. When he asks his name, the angel of the Lord says it's beyond understanding, it's wonderful. And we're reminded in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful. Beyond understanding. Who can understand who Jesus is? The very phrase, I am, is the capture. He captures this phrase, wonderful. It's beyond our comprehension and beyond understanding and description. That's who the angel is. Secondly, we know it's Jesus because he accepts a sacrifice. Manoah says, would you like to have something to eat? The angel of the Lord said, don't give it to me, but if you're going to prepare it as a burnt offering to the Lord. You see, we are reminded in 2 Kings, when the Lord made covenant with the Israelites, he commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow down to worship them, serve them, or sacrifice to them. Friend, if this angel were not God, he could not accept a sacrifice. He says, offer it to the Lord. But friends, how do we know it's Jesus? Not only because his name is wonderful, not only because he accepts the sacrifice, most importantly, friends, he becomes the sacrifice. Verse 20, as the flame blazed up from the altar towards the heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. When Jesus met with the disciples, he said, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. Friends, faith always leads us to Jesus. The book of Hebrews has 2 final lessons I want to remind us about faith. What is faith all about? Hebrews says this, now faith is being sure of what we are hoped for and certain of what we do not see. We've never seen Jesus, have we? Except when we see him in others. I haven't had a personal encounter with Jesus, except I have encountered Jesus in others. Friends, how can I know that Jesus is real? Because, friends, I've seen him in the life of those who love him and serve him. Why is faith important? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Friend, Jesus is the one who we believe in. He's the one we are sure about. He's the one who gives us the faith. He's the one we believe exists. And he's the one we trust will reward those who earnestly seek him in the end. Faith. Faith, friends. Faith is for the sick, the lazy, and the nameless. It's for you, and it's for me. Thank the Lord that he is the one who instills faith within us. Use that faith, friends, that God has given you, and believe in Jesus for your salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord bless you, friend, as you go into the rest of this week. Amen.